shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of that power may be of God and not from ourselves. Though we're afflicted in every way, we're not crushed. Perplexed, but don't despair. Persecuted, not forsaken. Struck down, not destroyed. Always, always carrying about in the body. And that's what I'm going to talk about this morning, is our body. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus might also be manifest in where? In our body. In your and my body. And that ties, not planned, right, Trey? That ties directly in to what I want to talk to you about this morning. I'm going to give you the answer first. I'm just really going to lead you into what the Lord shared with me these past couple of days. I had shared with Trey that I was going to teach on something different. But as can often happen, he changed that. So in Matthew 8, and for reinforcement's sake, let's just start back at 13 at the end. No, I don't want to start there. Let's start at 14. We don't know 13 is good too. Centurion, and then we'll move right through. And Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, let it be done to you as you've believed." And the servant was what? Healed. There's one. In that very hour. And when Jesus had come to Peter's home, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick in the bed with a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and waited on him. That's two. And when the evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all. So one to two to all. In order that what was spoken, and this is where I want to get to, in order that what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, "He himself took our infirmities." And I'm going to read it this way. "He himself carried away our diseases." King James says he bore. Took away is what my New American Standard said. Another translation says he carried it away. Let me read you the Amplified. "And thus he fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He himself took." He took it in order to carry it away. Our weaknesses and infirmities. "And he bore away in his body our diseases." I began meditating that the other night because, as will happen with all of us, we get under attack every once in a while. And I was really just meditating it, and it just came on me strong. He bore. He took my diseases in his body. Now, how many times have we read that? Hundreds? Probably we've read it hundreds of times in this Bible study or this healing school. But it was like I stepped back. I don't mean I had an out-of-body experience or anything, but I stepped back and I realized something in this. And what I realized is I haven't thought highly of my body. How many times have we said in our lifetime, I mean, I can remember doing it as a child, "Gosh, I wish I'd been made this way. I wish I had this." How many times have things come upon us and we speak to it and it doesn't react right away, and it's like we get angry at our flesh, our body? Or we do the Romans 7 thing where we sin and we don't mean to, and we get angry again with our body. And I would say we even get to a point where we get frustrated with who we are. And frustration means we're without hope. Well, that can't define a Christian. It cannot define a Christian. So I realized during these weeks where I've been fighting this stuff that I had come to be very disingenuous about how I should feel with my body. And so the Lord began talking to me about that, and that's what I want to share with you today. That instead of ending up fighting my flesh, I need to do what the Word says, and that is have dominion over it. And there's a real difference in exercising dominion and fighting something constantly. Because when you're constantly fighting, you're going to get worn out. Now, we would say, as Mary said, as Martha said to Jesus when he came to raise Lazarus, I know he's going to be resurrected. We're going to get that glorified, that resurrection body. And when we get in the mully grubs like that, that's what we often think about. But the Lord began to turn me back to live in now, to live where we are now. So let's just look at this one day I get a new body. 1 Corinthians 15. And we're going to start in this long chapter in verse 49. And I want to read this to set some context and to jump off into where the Lord took me. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly, talking about what? Our body. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now that's one you need to meditate on. Because it's also talking about your body. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Corrupt inherit incorruption. Okay? I wasn't sure what translation was there. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We know what that's talking about when Jesus comes back. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound. And if we have died, as my Father has, and gone, passed on to the Lord, then it says the dead shall be raised imperishable. And then it says in that twinkling of an eye, we too should be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. And I want to conclude with 54, because it's a key part of this. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on the immortal, then will come about that saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now, a lot of us just look to that day when we're dissatisfied with the body, or even when people get really sick, they just look to that day and draw comfort from it. And they should. But we've got more now. Look back at verse 20, same chapter. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. So here's this term, first fruits, that's introduced to us. And what is he talking about there? Jesus is the first fruit. And he's the first fruit of many who were born again. So that means you and I are somewhere in that lineage. I don't know what number we are. I don't care what number I am. Because I learned that the last are going to get the full day's wages. So it doesn't matter how far we are. We're in that number. And so we can say then, unequivocally, my body is included in redemption. Because I'm going to get that glorified body that, praise God, can walk through walls and double praise God. It can eat. And I just look forward to the feast of what we're going to have. I agree with you, Jimmy. And so we know the body. So then I begin to ask myself the question, knowing the answer, because when the Lord asks you, he's telling you so fast. Is my glorified body the only part of my body that's involved in redemption? And the answer is a resounding no. Why? Well, let's go back to this thought of first fruits. Death, if Jesus tarries, We'll all submit to it. But he said there are first fruits. Now, what could be some of the first fruits of death, coming before death? How about healing? So with that context then, let's go to 1 Corinthians 6. And what I want us to come away with today is my body. In fact, say this with me. My body is valued by the Lord Jesus. Now, we so often think in terms of body, soul, and spirit. And we know our spirit man is made into a new creation, one that didn't exist. We can renew our mind, and then what do we think? Oh, that body. It's just going to give you trouble the whole time. And what do we then begin to do then? We begin to diminish our view of my body. But I want you to look at what these scriptures say to us. Let's start in the 11th verse. And such were some of you. You were washed, but you were washed. But you were justified. Excuse me, sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the Spirit of our God. Now, what's he saying there is the fact that this is not something that you did. In other words, you just didn't make a decision. I'm going to stop sinning and these things happen to you. This is his grace coming upon us. And then he continues on in verse 12. And we need to read this to get to where I want to go. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Now, when Paul said that, this whole discourse is talking about sinning and things of the flesh. So he's saying, I'm not going to be mastered by anything, including what? My flesh. 13, food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food. But God will do away for both of them. Yet the body is not for immorality. We understand that in the context. But for the Lord. And then look at this phrase. And the Lord is for the body. That means he's not sitting up there looking at us saying, look at that sorry body that Minton had that keeps doing all this stuff. He's not looking up there to punish us because we did some things by sickness. It continues on. Now God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through his power. All right, now go back to the context of this. He's talking to people who are born again, spirit-filled. So what is he talking about? The body. Is he talking about the future? Well, yeah. But look what else he's talking about. Next verse. Do you not know? And he's talking to people on the earth, just like you and I, that your bodies are members of Christ. So when is he talking this? Today. So it sounds like there's some power that is available for me today to be raised up through that power in this body, my body, today. Verse, shall I take away the members of the body of Christ and make them members of a harlot? May it never not. May it never be. Now jump down to verse 20 again. Another verse 20. For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body today. Now, I want to ask you a question. We've been talking about healing school. When did people give glory when the sick came to Jesus? When did they give glory to God? Did they give glory when the limp or lame man walked in? They gave glory when what? When he walked out. Did they give glory when the blind man said, have mercy on me? No, they said it glorified God when what? When he said, I see. So what I want you to see here is that he's beginning to talk and tell us clearly that this pertains, particularly in verse 20, to one who has a whole, sound, saved body. Now, when are we part of his body? Do you think Jesus is looking at his body? Now, you got to think about that a second, because I just said, translate it, there is a man in a body in heaven. Do you think he's looking at his body any different and caring for it any different in heaven today than he looks at his body on earth today? And I think the answer is no. Which says he cares about our body greatly today. We are actually in this body betrothed to him. Now, how did we get there? Look at 1 Corinthians 12, 13th verse. We know we believed. Confessed Jesus and we were born again. But I want us to see this because we've got to see in verse 12. Did I do them backwards? No. 12, 13. For by one Spirit, when you were born again, by one Spirit, we were baptized into what? One body. Whose body is that? His body. The Lord Jesus. And what does 1 John 4:17 tell us in the end of that verse? As he is, so are we. Let me say that differently. As he is, so is his body on earth today. So that tells me that there is a strong value that he has for you and I and this physical body today that we're always berating. And I'm going to tell you, because I have gone through it these past several weeks, fighting, and never entering into, if I can just kneel here, rest will wear you out. Now, Trey just talked earlier while we were chatting about what he's going to be teaching. And he's going to be teaching them some things about fighting the good fight of faith tied together with spiritual authority. How does a king rule? With words. Where is the edicts given when he is sitting on that throne? So what I've learned is that if I just fight my body and fight it and then get frustrated and mad with it when it doesn't respond right away, what am I doing? I'm taking my eyes off the position I have and who I am and the Word. And so what I want us to just go through a few minutes of looking at today is who we are, what this body represents to him, and then what he did for it. Ephesians 1. And this kind of ties into first fruits again. Ephesians 1, and I want to go to verse 13. In him, in Jesus, you also, after listening to the message of the truth of the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, what was promised way back to Abraham? That born-again believer coming, sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now, I like that sealed. A couple of times ago when I taught, we talked about the battle for your soul. Your spirit man's sealed up. Devil can't do anything about it. So he's going to attack and he wants to get control of your soul. Because it's your soul, he's got your mind, and he's got your body. But the body in the flesh really is our emotions is the voice of our body. And so he will attack our body too, trying to do what? Stir up our emotions so he can take control of our soul. Because we're sealed, he can't touch it. Now, that's just kind of added. But what I want to look at is, look at verse 14. That Holy Spirit of promise who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, guarantee, some translations say earnest, down payment, which is where I'm going with this. What do you do when you buy a home? You put down a deposit and then you pay down on it. You put down a deposit when you make the offer. You pay down, make a down payment when you pay it and take out that loan which says, I'm going to give money and I guarantee this is happening. I'm putting myself and my being behind it. That's what Jesus has done. And he's telling us in this that we're talking about now, the benefits you get from redemption in your flesh don't start when I come back. They start the moment we are baptized into that body with him as one. And I just must confess, and yeah, I'm up here the one teaching it. I got corrected big time. Because as a young person, I played ball. My dad was a coach. And I wasn't the greatest athlete in the world. He told me one time when I was going from first to second in a ball game, he had to put his finger up to make sure I was moving. What was he saying? You're slow. So from a young age, I have looked down on what God has given me. And we can't do that and receive from him the way he wants us to do it. Now, when Jesus came, we all know that he demonstrated the will of the Father. 1 John 3:8, what does he tell us? That I came to destroy all the works of the devil. Acts 10:38, what does he say? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing what? Good. And then he explained what good was, and it was what? Healing. All. So what is he saying then about what we ought to expect concerning our body? Let me make this statement. I'll probably make it again, but the Lord brought it up now. When you get born again, you have a choice. You can keep on sinning, or you can change. But Jesus has already paid the price for those sins. He's redeemed us from them, so we don't have to do them. When I got born again, even I can't say I knew it then, but I do now, I have a choice. I can allow this body to be sick, or I can walk in that same redemptive power and have this body walk healthy all the time. Now, yeah, things are going to come against us, but we go back to giving thanks, what we shared about a couple of weeks ago, and walking in that thanksgiving that we have authority over. So now with that, let's go back to Matthew 8:17. So Jesus, matter of fact, let's just go back to Isaiah 53 for time's sake, because that's where he's quoting. Affirming, the Holy Spirit affirming. So if there was any doubts about his healing for now, most people would say if the Holy Spirit said it or Jesus said it, it's true. Well, he did, both of them, right here. And what he's affirming is what was written in Isaiah 53, and we'll look at three verses, 4, 5, and 10. Surely our griefs, and we know that word griefs literally means sicknesses. Most of the other times it's used, it's translated that. So surely our sicknesses he bore, and our sorrows or pains he carried. Now, let me just tell you, that word carried there is a word which means an act of removal. So he didn't just carry them around with him. He carried them away and put them away. So he did that for my sins. And we can all buy into that. We got good faith for that. And then he says, yet we esteemed ourselves stricken, smitten of God. And I got ahead of myself. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging or by his stripes, we, what? Are healed. So if he carried away these things, sin, mental torment, sickness, and pain, if he carried him away, then did he carry him away for my resurrected body when I'm going to be in heaven, when there's no devil, after the Lord finally locks him up? Well, no, there was no need to do that for them. But he did it for now. Part of those first fruits that we get. Look at verse 10. And this is a verse that when I read Isaiah 53, I have to just pause and take a deep breath. Yet it pleased the Lord. Now, I know that literally that means, yet it was the will of the Lord. But I want you to think about it. It pleased the Lord. It pleased the Lord to take cancer and put it on Jesus. How could that be? Because his love for you was the same as his love for Jesus, and he knew his son was going to be risen up again. Now, we got to understand this. He also said he placed that same love in us. And if his love for my spirit eternal, for my soul being torment free, and for this earthly body, if it pleased him so much and his love for me was so great that he put it on Jesus, then why do I detest this body I have? I ought to be loving it with the same love that he loved the body of Jesus with. Now, which we don't need to get twisted. You know, that's what Satan does. He twists things and start thinking, well, he's given me that to suffer so I'll appreciate what Jesus went through. No. He carried it away. It didn't go past Warner Robins or Valdosta. You can't find it. I don't know where he carried it to. But all I know is that my sins, my unrest, my dis-ease is gone. Now, in thinking about that then, let's look at 1 Peter 2:24. Now, we always focus on this one, and this is the verse we quote when we want to confess what? That we're healed. And it's a great one to do it. But look at what it says. Who himself bore our sins. He did what? He bore them. He took them on his flesh, in his own body, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes you what? Were healed. So this is a fact. True? A fact. Now, this is, let me say that differently. Okay. This is truth. I don't want you to look at this as a promise. It is truth. I were healed. Now, why do I say I don't want to call it a fact? Because the fact is, some of us may have some things we're fighting and resisting in our bodies. But truth, and I'm sorry, I don't know of another word to use, truth trumps facts. Yes. This is a truth. Now, it is a promise, sure, but I want you to see it's a truth. Look at Psalm 119. Forever. So, this word came out of the mouth of the Lord. that we were healed. Forever. Does that include today? Forever, O Lord, your word. Forever, O Lord, your word that I am healed is settled in heaven. Now, let me tell you. No. Let's go to Hebrews. And Miss Emmy, if you can come back to that one in a moment. Look at Hebrews 4. Twelfth verse. Just going to read the first part. For the word of God, King James say quick. Living. Living is actually active, what it means. It is living and it's active and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, go back to Psalm 119. Forever, O your Lord, your word is settled in heaven. And that says, combined with what we just read, that that word that is settled in heaven on this earth is living and it's active for you and I today. Now, what does that mean to you? Well, I don't know. To me, it means that Jesus doesn't wake up in the morning and check to see if the sun came back up today. Because he said, he spoke, sun in the daytime, moon at nighttime. That word is still living and active today. Would we dispute that? He commanded light out of darkness that we read earlier. And the Holy Spirit was hovering. And that's really pertinent because the Holy Spirit's hovering right here today. He's in us, but he's hovering over us, waiting to act on that voice of the Lord that is what? Settled in heaven.
Amen.
Do you see the same picture I do? And then Jeremiah 1:12, he says, I watch over my word to perform it. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, glory. That portion of God's word that we act on is that portion of his word that is abiding in us. And I know Robert has said so accurately, you can't just memorize a verse and say it. It's got to get down in here. It's got to be abiding. It's got to be alive in you. So what happens then to a verse when we get revelation on it? That verse that is just words on a page becomes alive in us. And when we speak it out, what are we doing? We're giving it a chance to become active. Can you pull up 1 Thessalonians 2:13? This has become, since I've come to Macon, one of my favorite verses. For this reason, we thank God also without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us. So what you're hearing from me today is my voice. I believe it's anointed. That's not pride. That's a promise that I'm walking in. When you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not just as the word of men, but you welcomed it how? As it is, in truth, the word of God. And what does that word of God do? It effectually works in you and I. It effectually works in you and I. Now, as I wrote down these notes yesterday, the Lord, I don't mean I heard an audible voice, but he said, close where healing school began. Proverbs 4. 4:9 where I began, but where we began as a group when Trey started healing school. Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, daughter, give attention, heed, listen to. Now, I need to say this. The word, the Hebrew word for hearing, I've got time. Let me just go over there. Isaiah 1, 19. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land. Willing and obedient. Do you know the word obedient here means to hear intelligently? What is the inference? That when you hear it, not just with these ears, but when you hear it and it abides with you, it becomes a word that is alive and that you act on. So I want us to see when we talked about giving attention to so that we hear, it's not just so I can hear something and go away and say, that was a great word. It's so I can see something. When you're reading, or let me use me as an example. When I was at Georgia Tech studying thermodynamics, and I wasn't going to be a mechanical engineer, but I still had to take that course. And I learned about heat pumps and how they work and energy transfer and all that stuff. I had a hard time with it. It didn't help that I had a foreign Chinese guy teaching me who I couldn't understand but every fifth word. But one day, sitting in my dorm room, I said, oh, I see that. What happens when you get revelation on something? The light shines out of darkness, and you say, I see. That's why he's telling us here in Proverbs 20, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear from my sayings. And look at the next verse. Do not let them depart from your sight. He's not talking about keep the scroll open 24 hours a day. He's talking about when they become revelation to you and they've well up in here and you see them, don't let them be taken away from you. Amen. For they are what? Well, keep them in the midst of your heart, which is where they are. For they are life to those who find them and health or medicine. Yeah, let me read you my New American Standard for this one. It's a little bit different. For they are life to those who find them, and they are health to all their whole body. So we got double emphasis on that. To all their whole body. Now when the Lord says something twice, verily, verily, which means amen, which means so be it, he's not saying, hey, just listen for a second. He's saying, this is the way it is. This is the way it is. And so he's reinforcing that with us here right now. That this word planted in you has an impact when you speak it over your body. He goes on to say then, watch over your heart with all diligence. Watch over your heart with all diligence. Now, watch there. Keep, I think King James says, literally means to guard, to protect. And this is the one that I think is the most important of these, or to maintain. What does maintain imply? An ongoing process. Don't just get there and say, I see it one time, and then now I'm ready to move to another level. Keep that foundation solid so that when the attacks come, we don't have to get laid down before we go find a Bible and look up a verse to read. Because what? When we have that word alive in us, then the moment we feel the first symptom, then we can resist it. And we can speak to our body. Quick story, and I'll close. You've heard me, and you've heard Trey, and I hadn't planned on doing this, but I think it's appropriate, because this is how I believe the Lord wants us to close today. You've heard me and Trey use a quote by Reinhard Bonnke, where he said, "The Lord told him that my words in your mouth are just as powerful as my words in my mouth." You've heard us say that? I know I've said it several times, and I know Trey has also. I was watching him preach at a church that I look at some videos on sometime versus watching news all the time, even though I'm tempted. And he began telling the story about what happened here with that quote. And what he said was, he was a missionary in the early days, born again, spirit-filled. But he was a missionary in this one little country in Africa. And he was just struggling, and things were not happening. I mean, he didn't see any miracles. And he knew of this apostle up in this other country, and he had heard of all the miracles. So he went to travel to him, implored him, "Would you come to my place and conduct some meetings?" The man said, "Yes, I'll come for 2 days." So he prayed. He was excited about it. The time for the man to come came upon him, and he showed up. He went in. The man preached for 15 minutes, and he had really advertised this. Had a full house. 15 minutes, and he closed and sat down. And Reinhard said, I went over to him and said, "Aren't you going to pray for the sick? That's why we had, so people could be healed and we could see miracles, and thus people get excited about Jesus." And he said, "You can tell the people that if they come tomorrow night, that prayer will be offered for the sick." Reinhard said he stood up and closed that. Shortest meeting ever in that city. Next morning, he got up, went over to have lunch or something with the pastor. And the pastor had his suitcase and his traveling clothes on, not his ministering clothes. And he said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going home." He said, "You can't." He said, "Sure I can. The Lord told me to. I'm going home." He said, "Well, what about tonight?" He said, "You told them that if they would come back, that there would be prayer offered for the sick. You didn't tell them that I was going to do it. You do it." Reinhard said he was so angry that that true German nature rose up in him. But he let him go. And said he and the Lord debated and talked for quite a while. And just before time to start the service, the Lord said to him, "Reinhard, my words in your mouth are just as powerful as my words in my mouth." And he said that night he went in, preached about Jesus healing people, said, "Now we're going to pray for people." And the Lord said, pray for blind eyes. And so he spoke to those eyes. Three people began to see. From that time on, miracles flowed with him. I believe this morning that the Lord wants to close, and Trey, if you get something to add on to this, with not just me standing here or you coming up front and praying for you, but this is a time when I believe the Lord says, we have the right to exercise dominion over our body. Romans, 4:16 says that sin will not master me, or I will not be a slave to sin. We don't have to be a slave to sickness either. His words, what we've just heard, Jesus bore the pains and diseases of my body. He took them away. Therefore, devil, in the name of Jesus, take them now. Go. And so let's just speak to our own bodies for any of those things we're believing for right now. Okay? I'm going to just turn this down or take it away from me so I can do the same, because I don't want to dominate.